theme running through our readings today is the theme of life and death. In the first reading, we have a widow who has a son, and the son dies. And then Elijah prays, and the Lord, because of Elijah's prayer, raises the child back to life. And we have another widow in the gospel, and her son has died as well. And Jesus says, "Young man, I tell you, arise." And the dead man sits up and rises. So one of the things that we can learn from these readings is that Jesus Christ is the font of life. And at his very word, he simply says the word arise, and the dead man comes back to life. Each one of us was brought into existence at a word from Jesus Christ. And we're held in existence by Jesus Christ himself. He is the source of life. But these miracles revolving around life and death are also signs of something else as well. Not just physical life. But as we go throughout Scripture, right from the beginning of Scripture in Genesis and the Garden of Eden, all the way to the end of Scripture through the last chapters of Revelation, there's two types of life and there's two types of death. There's not only physical life and death, but there's also spiritual life and spiritual death. We see that from the beginning with the tree that they ate from and the two trees in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, which brought death. And we see it all the way at the end of the book of Revelation. If we read one of the last chapters in Revelation 20, it talks about how Jesus Christ will be seated on this great, glorious white throne, and the entire human race will be assembled before him. And then the book of life is opened. And everyone's name who's not in the book of life says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire, which is called the second death. And so right from the beginning to the end of Scripture, we hear these two types of life and death. Our physical life is temporary. You know, the man from Nain and the widow's boy from Zarephath, they were brought back to life, but both of them eventually died again. So that life is temporary. But spiritual life is not temporary. We call spiritual life sanctifying grace. When an individual is baptized, they receive sanctifying grace. And what sanctifying grace is divine life, meaning the very life of God, poured out and living in our souls. So when someone's baptized, they become a temple of the Holy Spirit, and their soul is brought to life. And God cannot die. So if we die a physical death, and we have divine life, sanctifying grace in our soul, we will still live forever. If a person deliberately rejects God's will, they can lose sanctifying grace. You know, God always respects our free will. And so if a person chooses in a serious matter to violate the will of God, he respects our choice and he leaves our soul. So it's possible for someone who receives sanctifying grace to lose that. We call that a mortal sin. And when we sin against God, we relinquish divine life in our soul. We basically exercise our free will to violate the will of God, and he respects that by leaving our soul. And so within the spiritual realm, there's life and death that play within our souls. And as a priest, I've done quite a few funerals. And, you know, often people are weeping at the loss of someone's physical life, as we should. You know, it's appropriate for us to mourn the loss. But there's a greater death that we should be concerned about. You know, how often do people weep at the loss of sanctifying grace? You know, when someone loses eternal life, if we see someone commit a mortal sin, you know, and we can commit mortal sins by defying church teaching, by violating the Ten Commandments. You know, sometimes people are very casual about committing serious sins and they think it's no big deal. You know, I'll talk about people who joke about missing Sunday Mass. They're like, "Oh yeah, I don't go to Mass. You know, I go periodically, but I don't go as much as I should. But it's not that big of a deal." Well, yes, it is. You know, that is the loss of eternal life in our souls. It's spiritual death. That's what Scripture calls the second death. And millions of people are walking around in our world today with physical life, but their souls are dead. They're walking dead. There's no divine life in their soul, Catholics and non-Catholics alike. But the good news is, sanctifying grace can be restored. You know, we don't often see people come back to life in terms of natural life, but in terms of supernatural life, it's freely given. We receive it in baptism. When a priest or a deacon baptizes a child or an individual, they say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Christ gave the church 7 sacraments as the means of pouring out grace on the human race. And not just in the sacrament of baptism, but also in the sacrament of confession. If we lose divine life through committing a mortal sin, we can be brought back to life. And just as Jesus Christ said to the dead man, "I tell you, arise," and the dead man sat back up, and people were amazed by this incredible miracle, and they cried out, and they said, "God has visited his people." In the sacrament of confession, Jesus Christ has imparted to the church and to the priest the authority to say, "I absolve you from your sins." And just like the dead man sat up and was alive again, when a person in a state of mortal sin goes to the sacrament of confession and makes a good confession, when the priest says those words, their soul is brought back to life and they are restored to grace. And it's an incredible gift that our Lord has entrusted to the church. At the words of absolution, a soul can be brought back to life. And so when we witness the sacraments, we should be even more amazed than the people were in this gospel when they saw a dead man come back to life. They said, "A great prophet has arisen and God has visited his people." Every time one of the sacraments is confected, God is visiting his people. And in the case of baptism, he's bringing souls to life. In the case of confession, he's bringing souls back if they've lost life through mortal sin. Or if they've committed venial sin, he's washed that away. And so it's a tremendous gift that the Lord has entrusted into his church. And so we pray that those who are spiritually dead can come back to Jesus Christ and be brought back to life through the life-giving words and the sacraments that he's entrusted to his church. And may we always strive to live in a state of grace, fearing mortal sin more than death itself. We should never downplay the reality of sin, but we should be committed to living in a state of grace so that whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord.